I'd like to read from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Have you ever stopped and thought, besides heaven, the benefits of walking with Jesus? Just focus that. As I was sitting this morning and I had everything worked out, I thought, and then just started thinking, what is the life in Christ really all about for us? And then I just started jotting some things down. Love, faith, peace, joy, forgiveness, transformation, wisdom, thanksgiving, and praise. And you can add whatever you want to that. Very often, we focus on the fact that we're going to heaven. And I like that. But we miss that we can have heaven on earth. That God absolutely desires that we live in that love and joy and peace and thanksgiving and praise and transformation and change in our lives here that we'll experience in heaven. And his glory transcends everything. Have you ever read, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 8, chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We know that one, 7:14. It's either 6 or 8, right in there. Solomon is praying. And Solomon was given the assignment to build a temple that's going to house the presence of God. Now think about that. Years ago, I was trying to figure out what that would have cost. And I know this figure doesn't sound very big now. But the cost of that temple that Solomon built back in the 90s or 80s would have cost $3 trillion. I know that figure just don't amaze you anymore. Because we talk about our national debt as $20 trillion. And we come to a place, but Solomon's been told by God to build a temple. And God designed that temple for him. And Solomon one day, you know, just like Kirk, going to school, Solomon had to go to school and talk with God and say, God, your glory, your presence goes beyond the whole world. It goes beyond the universe. How do you expect me to build a temple that can contain you? Think about it. And so God put himself behind a veil, his presence, and it wasn't an area probably 20 by 20, somewhere in that place, where the ark was put and the mercy seat was put, and on top of that was the glory of God manifested. And now, he's even done better than that because his glory lives within us. Imagine. The God of glory, whose glory transcends his own creation, now looks at us and says, I'm going to live within you. And as believers, that's where he dwells, through his Holy Spirit. And because of that, and I like that song, when your prayers seem so far away, just be held. Just come to a place where you let the God of the universe wrap his spiritual arms around you and hold you and bring contentment and bring peace and bring the presence of God that shatters all the lies and all the things that Satan's trying to do in your head. And you come to a place, and I came to that place Friday afternoon, and I said, wow, this is real. This is real. And so where I want to take you today is just a place where God absolutely wants us to be in him. And we're going to close with that wonderful verse. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to, where is the power at? It's in me. According to the power that's in me. It's amazing. So we come to a place, and Paul's talking, for this reason, in verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I made a change. Change is okay, isn't it? Change is okay. As I started working on this message on Thursday, I just thought, you know, I've been missing something. I was coming in here and sitting, and boy, that's comfortable. Boy, it's nice just to relax and take a deep breath. But I said, I'm missing something. So I walked back to my first stall and knelt down. I'm not being religious. But there's something about bowing our knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I started thinking, I honor him by bowing to him. I demonstrate my respect to him by bowing to him. And I demonstrate humility of bowing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whether peace came or whether something else came, something happened. And it was like a mini breakthrough. My thoughts changed. The fear was gone. The devil's voice wasn't loud. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it was like, you know, on my TV when I'm changing channel during commercials. Anybody do that? During communion, I'm changing channels during commercials, and I hit a mute button. That's the most peace you get in watching television. That mute button has a purpose. And so it's just like as I was kneeling here Saturday. And yeah, I did come in Friday later. That all of a sudden there was an overwhelming of the presence of God. Not because I was kneeling. Didn't earn it. Just because God was just waiting for us to come. Do you make an appointment with God each day? Is there a time that you set aside and that's a time for you and God? I was doing really good getting here every morning until I ran into this guy and his wife at the hospital where I go exercise early morning. We always talk. And so when I come in, I'm a little more hurried. Saturday mornings are so beautiful because there's no rush. Just come to a place and bow or sit in the presence of God, taking the time to be with Him. Taking time. Maybe love is spelled T-I-M-E. I'm not totally sure. But it's important. So this morning as I was kneeling here and praying, I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. How many remember that something went wrong with Daniel's prayer time politically? That these guys come before the king and there was a decree signed that nobody could ask anybody anything for a certain period of time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the Bible tells us that when Daniel knew the decree was signed, he went and opened his windows and knelt, just as he'd done beforehand, three times a day, and prayed. And guess what? These guys were watching him. And they went and told the king. Well, we know the story. Daniel ended up in a lion's den. But it was kind of interesting to me that Daniel opened the windows. He could have done that with the window shut. How many of us would have thought about that? Not that it's a big deal. But he did everything as he did before. Okay? How many of you at one point in your life or even now had a very strong prayer life? Just talking to God. I believe it's an amazing time just to resurrect that. Just to resurrect that. Don't get all your biblical knowledge from who you watch. Get your biblical knowledge from whom you're talking to. Because God is still sharing. God's still talking. And God still wants us to come to Him. God loves communicating with us. And it's beautiful. It is. Verse 16 says, strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Colossians chapter 1 talks about being strengthened in the inner man with the might of God. I've noticed a few things since I was a kid. You know, my cell phone didn't work very good in the 60s. My computer must have always had a virus. It could never bring anything up. I got in a car, my cruise control just didn't work. I think we had radios. Pardon? Oh, FM. Yeah, what was that? Yeah, we had the 8-track. Had the car so full of 8-track things you couldn't get in. But things have changed. And not only that, families have changed. I would have never gotten by with going in my bedroom with a TV dinner at supper time. Wouldn't have happened. Anybody remember those days? When you ate as a family. I remember not missing a church service, no matter if it was a 2-week evangelistic service, and for some of you that means that you had church every night for 2 weeks. They don't do that anymore. And it wasn't, Dad, can I stay home tonight and watch or not watch TV? I never had that till I was senior in high school. But Dad, can I stay home tonight and do my schoolwork? No, you get your schoolwork done after church or before. Change can be wonderful, but change can also destroy. I was reffing football one night, and I won't tell you where, a long while back. Coach took a player off the field. Player took his helmet and hit the coach with it. Walked over, sat on the bench. Two plays later, he's back in the game. I'd have been at the funeral home if I did that to my coach. Didn't happen. But what has changed so much? And with the changing so much, in the home and in the family and things going on, we need to be powerful inside. We need to be empowered by the Spirit of God. We need the presence of God in our lives, where we are coming to a place where we actually think God thoughts. Hey, do you ever think that's possible? We can begin to think. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. There is not a situation we should be coming into or going out of without knowing, God, how would you do this? And that's not a condemnation. That's a fact that we don't have because we don't ask. We don't come to a place where we're facing crucial situations where we don't take time to ask God. And God is saying, I'm here. I'll share with you. I'll download. I want to help you. And you know something? That's for your benefit. That's for your benefit. That God can download into our spirit from His Holy Spirit how He would handle things and what He would do and how it would work out. We talked on Wednesday night to those who are led by the Spirit of God. These are the children of God. You can simply ask God what He knows about that situation and what He would do. Be strong. We need to be strong so we're not deceived by what people are thinking is normal for the United States in 2016. We need to know. I'm not in tune with a lot of the political stuff that they're throwing at us and calling it political correctness. There's a lot of political deception going on, and America's buying it. We need to hear the truth from God. That reality, that unveiled reality of truth. And our young people need to be grounded in that truth that when they go to college, some professor is not going to talk them out of their relationship with God into something that's going to drive them away. Be strengthened with all power and might. In the inner man, mentally strong. There are some of you that have to stand alone at work, and that's a challenge. Because if you're not doing what everybody else is doing today, I'll guarantee you something. You come here for the Super Bowl party, you won't have to worry about an HP on the way home. We may delight ourselves in fatness, but we're not going to be delighting ourselves in something else. Could have said amen. that God may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. I want you to think about something, and every once in a while something clicks. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. Let me ask you a question. If the love of God passes knowledge, can you know the love of God with just your mind? We think we know what love is. Some of you have what is called love languages. I won't go into that. But what hit me in reading this is that God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. In my opinion, with our human minds, until our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit and we begin to comprehend deeper things of God, we need to see the love of God demonstrated. And right there is the demonstration. That cross. God demonstrated his love for us on the cross. Now, please listen to me. Don't miss this. And every time you feel depressed, discouraged, frustrated, upset, wondering where God is and why didn't God do this and how come I don't have this and how come God didn't do this, you can look at the cross and that cross speaks with great big red letters across it, I love you. The cross demonstrated the love of God as Jesus was laid on it. Every time you look at yourself and you say, I failed, or I did this, or I did something else, take a peek at the cross. You cannot tell yourself God doesn't love you in an honest manner and look at the cross at the same time. You can't do it. You know at that moment you're conning yourself. Boy, I love the way you're shouting. This is exciting. Have you looked at it? The Bible and the cross and God himself. How can you deny that? We can't, can we? Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever's going on, we have to come to the place of realizing I'm loved. I'm loved. Huh, Mary? I'm loved. You too? All of you? Okay. These three got it. Did you get it? We're loved. There's an interesting word at the end of that verse where it says, until we're all, that's the next chapter, but being filled with the fullness of Christ. Being filled with the fullness of Christ. The word there that Paul used is plerma. It means having the same thing. It actually means here having the same love, the same anointing, the same power, and a similar ministry. I say similar because Christ died. You don't have to do that necessarily, at least for your sins. The fullness of God comes to a place where we're walking this life out as Jesus did. We struggle with being anointed. We struggle with walking in that same character, in that same love, in the same ministry. We struggle with that. Do you remember when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross? And he told his disciples, I will not leave you orphans. What's an orphan? Someone who don't have parents. So Jesus said, I'm sending you the comforter, the paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help you. And when he has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to glorify me. He's going to take from mine and share it with you. Hello. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. That's where the question lies, is, are those words true? And are we resembling the life of Christ as we walk on earth? He wants you in the fullness. He wants me in the fullness. He says it twice. Chapter 3 and chapter 4. In chapter 4, it says, all till we all come to the unity of faith in the fullness of Christ. Please. And I know you're getting the whole bale of hay today, even though half the flock is not here. Please take seriously what God says about you. Because when he left, his disciples did what he did. The Apostle Paul did what he did. How do we know that? Because there was a man by the name of Eutychus. Anybody remember Eutychus? Eutychus made the sad mistake of falling asleep when Paul was preaching, Mr. Helbert. And he come down with a bang. He was dead. Paul went down, did what Jesus would have done. He raised him from the dead. The Bible says the body was of no small comfort. They were pretty excited about it. Peter went to a place where Dorcas was dead, or Lydia. He learned from Jesus. He went in there. All the people were wailing and weeping. He put them out, and he raised her from the dead. Where'd that come from? It came from the comforter Jesus left for them to minister with. So the same anointing, the same ministry, the same love, and the same power. Be filled with the fullness of Christ. And then he comes and he puts that all in connection. He puts it all together. And he's telling, the Holy Spirit's telling them, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to me who lives inside you. I'm just paraphrasing. What can you imagine your life in Christ to be like? Abundant means way more than enough. It means excess. I can do exceedingly more excess than what you can even think of. Can we accept that? How many of you say, I'll chew on that for a while? Put it between my cheek and gums and just kind of suck on it. He can do it. The Bible says, very interesting statement, you have not because you ask not. How many of you have the spiritual courage to ask God for something you don't even believe would happen. You'll say, well, that's not faith. He's telling us to do it. Do beyond what you can ask or think. Now, that's not the way I would want you to pray normally. But if there's something so big in your life that you've come to a place of saying, God isn't ever going to answer it. It's not going to happen. Try it. You might like it. Let God I was thinking and I wrote down, let's stretch God. No, God wants to stretch us. God wants to stretch us. Did you ever see somebody saved you didn't think ever would get saved? Did you ever see somebody healed that you prayed for and they were healed and you thought, how'd that happen? That's God answering that verse. You are his children. And God doesn't have to impress us with what he's going to do, but sometimes it seems like he just likes to show off. I know, boy, that's not a religious word, and you might not want to do that. And Pastor really blew it this time. But I think he does. I get the feeling at times he just wants to throw open heaven and say, here it is. And we say, well, God, that's not in my theology. Well, I found something out. God's bigger than my theology. God's not limited by what I think he is and can do. Praise God, he's not. And so he comes to magnify his glory in your life and in my life so that we see the bigness, the big picture. And he's saying, don't back down. Without the Holy Spirit filling him at that moment, without having the Bible, a man called Moses came to the Red Sea. Now, what were you going to do? The Egyptians were on his tail. Things were looking scary. And Moses looks at God and says, God, what are you going to do? And God looks at Moses and said, I'm not doing it. You do it. Step in the water or strike the water or whatever God told him to do. And until Moses acted upon the commission from God, nothing happened and they were chopped liver. Right? If Moses would have stood there petrified with fear, wow. And then God did his thing. The King James, very interesting, because as it says, as the chariots went through the Dead Sea chasing the children of Israel, God knocked their wheels off. Kind of interesting. I close with this. What is God waiting for us to do? What has God spoke into our hearts and he's just saying, I'll do it. What's he waiting for us to do? Who's he waiting for us to talk to? Who's been going through your mind day after day after day and you just haven't seen him and you haven't made an effort and God is saying, I want to do something through you in that person. I want you to honor that person. I want you to show them my favor. Because when you show them my favor, I raise up favor and honor in you. Very interesting. But he wants us to give it away. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This life is amazing. It's amazing. If I hear people say, well, I'm just bored with this Christian life, that means you're not behaving the way God wants you to. Because there's nothing boring about it when you're ministering to people. Ask Kirk. Praise God. Hey, whether you feel like it or not this morning, you're loved by God and us. You're deeply appreciated. God has faith in you, and so does the leadership of this church. And you are loose to do what God tells you. Please, you have an anointing. You have the fullness of God. You have the Word of God. Just communicate with Him, because He's talking to you. And sometimes we think, is there anybody else up there that wants to say something? I'd rather listen to something else. It's time for all of us, including your pastor, take the training wheels off and get serious about where God's taken us. It's fun. Amen? Amen. Amen.